Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Well, today's episode is kind of fun. I am recording this intro in the bathroom of our RV while we are parked at Zion National Park. This has been such an exciting and filled with lifelong lessons adventure we have had as a family. If you want to know about our RV trips now that we're on the mainland and see where it is we are and what we're doing and what we're up to and what we're learning, make sure to follow me on Instagram at Lori Beth Aldridge. Instagram is also where you can find out more about the retreat that my mastermind and I are hosting. The mastermind I'm in with Jennifer Fordberry, Becky Kapitsky, and Amy DeBruck has an exciting announcement. We are hosting our first ever in-person retreat this fall at Shaker Village outside of Lexington, Kentucky. It's called the Focus Retreat. And we could not be more thrilled to share this opportunity with you. Join us this September for an opportunity to gather with other business-minded mamas who long for the opportunity to carve out time to focus on what matters most to them in their businesses and lives: community, strategy, family, organization, and of course, confidence. We are taking a whole woman approach to our coaching in this retreat by integrating business, personal, and spiritual growth. I love that this will all happen in person with other women who value genuine community over just networking. There'll be keynote workshops, breakout sessions, social gatherings, a mastermind panel to help you learn how to form your own, and the in-person opportunity to introduce you to other women who are also interested in joining a mastermind, plus an optional VIP experience at Amy's Lake House with live music, delicious food, and sisterhood. Come hang out with me, Jennifer, Becky, and Amy in person this September at the Focus Retreat in beautiful Kentucky. Go to thefocusretreat.com for more information and to reserve your spot for this boutique retreat. Tickets are very limited. Head to thefocusretreat.com to reserve yours. Do you ever feel like there aren't enough hours in the day, that your calendar is full and overwhelming, that busy is your new normal, and you wish that it weren't? When my schedule gets too full, I know that something needs to change, and that usually means I need to sit down and have a come-to-Jesus meeting about my priorities. I need to pray, I need perspective, and I need practical steps. Our guest today is going to speak with us about all of those needs. She is going to speak life over us so that we can speak life over our children and our families. Most modern moms feel overextended and like they want change. Crystal is just the encourager we need to work through those feelings and make actual change stick. You are going to leave this episode renewed. I know I was three times over. Once after reading her book, again after this conversation, and once more when I was editing this episode. At the end of the show, I share four ways that Crystal's book changed my life. Get ready for some tips, encouragement, and fresh perspective about how to best budget our time as moms. Crystal Payne is the founder of MoneySavingMom.com, host of the Crystal Payne Show podcast, and a New York Times bestselling author. Her desire is to help women across the globe live with more joy, purpose, and intention in their everyday lives. She lives with her husband and six kids in the Nashville, Tennessee area, where she is actively involved in her local church. Her biggest passions are helping women understand how the gospel can radically transform their lives, raising awareness for foster care, going on adventures with her family, locally, domestically, and internationally, finding great deals at the grocery store, having heartfelt conversations, and trying to read too many books at one time. Crystal is a girl after my own heart. I am thrilled to introduce you to her. Without further ado, let's welcome the down-to-earth Crystal Payne to the show. Aloha, Crystal. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
I am so honored to be here.
Oh, you're so sweet. I loved your book. It was so awesome. And I cannot wait to dive in and talk about it. But before we do that, I would love for my audience to get to know more about you in your own words.
Yes. So my husband and I have been married for 20 years. We have 6 kids. They are 18, 15, 13. Then we had 10 years of secondary infertility. And then we have a 2.5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and an 8-month-old. Our second 2.5-year-old, and we fostered him for 22 months. We adopted him in December. He has a lot of special needs and medical complexities, and he has just brought so much joy and so much life to our home. He's wrecked us in the most beautiful of ways. And also, I'm very passionate about foster care and special needs and this world that I never expected was going to be part of my story. But then I have written a few books. The book that I think we're going to talk about a little bit today is my 5th book. And then my husband and I do a podcast together called The Crystal Pain Show. And I'm the founder of MoneySavingMom.com. So I work full-time from home running that business.
Oh my gosh. And I'm sure after everyone hears that, the first question is, how do you do it all? For sure. And we're going to talk about that because you address that in your book so beautifully. And as a person who also gets that question all the time, because we run renovation businesses and we homeschool the kids and I have the podcast and I'm writing a book and all the things, people are like, gosh, how do you do it? Your book sets it up so beautifully. And I'll confess, I cried the first couple of pages went into your book because my beloved grandmother just passed away. Mm. In fact, I did a whole episode about her legacy because she's such a beautiful person and I wanted people to know her more. And, you know, even a couple months later, my world is still really rocked by her passing. And so when you shared about your grandmother passing when you were a preteen and how that affected you and how it still affects you, I was really touched by that. And I'm, you know, equal parts really sad that our grandmothers aren't here anymore and truly grateful that amazing grandmothers continue to shape us even after they passed. I mean, just what a legacy. It's so awesome. And what a solid foundation for a book and for life too. And I really appreciate your powerful messaging in those first few pages of, it's just the introduction. That's what really blew me away. You know, truths about our priorities and the way we show up in our lives. You say today is all we have. And that is a very humbling fact. And quite frankly, I think our world would be better off if we meditated on that a little bit more instead of avoiding death as a culture like we do. So my question for you is, do you think today is all we have? Every day you wake up, is it something that's conscious for you? Or is it something that's kind of automatic and ingrained in you at this point?
I feel like I think often about my funeral, which sounds really morbid, but I think of what am I going to have at the end of my life? Like, how am I living today that is going to impact people and leave a legacy? And so I think about that a lot. I think about what's going to matter in 25 years. I think about the end of my life. What am I going to want to look back on? And that gives me a lot of purpose. And it also, I feel like, helps me to define what really matters, because there's so much time that we can waste worrying. There's so much time we can spend psychoanalyzing and second guessing that is not going to matter at the end of our life. And there are so many burdens that we put on ourselves that can weigh us down, that if we really live in light of the end of our life in eternity, we're going to change and shift the way that we live.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. So many unnecessary burdens. Oh my gosh, isn't that just modern motherhood and the messaging and the overwhelm and all of that? Those two questions were amazing. You know, since today's all we have to be really intentional about how we're spending today and what we focus on. And oh my gosh, all the things. Those two questions were also at the beginning of your book. What will matter in 25 years and what will matter at the end of your life? And it just made all the small details of the day fade away. But there's still tons of small details we have to show up and do, like cook, like teach my kids, like go to the lessons. Like, how do you incorporate those two big questions and long timelines, 25 years and the end of our life is hopefully super long timelines, you know, into the small here and now moments?
I think really seeing the why behind the what. And I was talking with someone recently and they were talking about how we have to do diaper duty. And I, you know, just saying there's a lot of things that we just have to do. And I stopped them and I said, okay, one, I feel like let's change the way that we talk about it. Instead of saying have to, let's say get to. because mm-hmm. this life is a gift. And when we see every day as a gift, it changes the way that we approach our days. Just this morning, I was sitting on the couch and I was reading a little book to my 2.5-year-old and I was nursing and she was playing on the floor with her toys. And I was just thinking, like, this is a gift. Like, this moment is a gift. And I just want to capture those moments and remember that. And then also, you know, if we're going to think of diaper duty or whatever it is, that it's like these things that life needs to have happen in order for us to survive, for us to function. If we can put some why behind that. So when I'm changing diapers, and I do a lot of that because I have little kids, to really be using those times. Like, that is an opportunity for me to look into the child's eye and to just speak life to them. And a lot of times we practice certain things with David, our 2.5-year-old with special needs. That's when we'll practice. Like, I'm practicing teaching him. We say, clap, David, and yay, David, and where's David, and playing peekaboo. And then with my other 2.5-year-old, that's when I'm just talking with her and speaking life to her. And my 8-month-old, like, just in, like, really getting that opportunity right then to use that moment of something that I get to do that, you know, needs to be done, but I can use it in a purposeful way. And so I really look for ways to use those moments. So if I'm washing dishes, I can be praying. I can be thinking through something that, you know, way to bless someone else. I can be listening to an audiobook or a podcast. I can be having a conversation with someone else. And so using those moments to, instead of just letting my brain run all over the place or feeling frustrated or getting stuck in worry loops, I can use that for something intentionally. And that really helps me to live my days to the fullest, but then also use those moments in a way that they are life-giving instead of draining.
Crystal, you're my people. You're my people. I love that so very much. Oh my gosh. Encouragement is my jam. It's what I love to do the most. And that reframing of our to-do list as we get to speak life over our children, that feels so important to me and such an important message for moms to hear so that we understand what it is. I feel like our true task in this life and our true role in motherhood actually is a lot of speaking life over our children. I love that you said that to us, that we can speak life over our children. Mm-hmm. It just feels so, so, so important. But you don't just take these big notions and leave them in our laps and just have us pondering them by ourselves as we're reading your book. You actually provide so many practical steps for how to do this. And it's when someone asks the question, how do you do it all? You're like, here it is. Here's my book. This is my process. And it's so awesome. My biggest takeaway from your book was actually step one, which is prayer first. It is absolutely life-changing. It truly is. My life was completely changed however many months ago. I'm sure it's been over a year now. If I immediately upon waking up start praying prayers of gratitude, thank you so much for another day. This is awesome. Most of the time there's a baby sleeping next to me. So I'm like, thank you for this beautiful baby. Thank you for the sleep that I did get, instead of complaining that I didn't get enough sleep. And oh my gosh, this is a perfect opportunity to tell you that you have changed my life with the notion of asking God to please multiply my sleep, multiply my energy, my inspiration, my time, things that I feel like I don't have enough of in the moment. It never occurred to me till I read your book to ask for those things. And since then I have, because I'm up all night nursing and because we were on this crazy RV trip and things were wonky and sleep wasn't awesome, I asked God to multiply my sleep. And quite frankly, given the yuck sleep I've had the last couple of nights, I have more energy. It's supernatural. It's super awesome. And it's because prayer first. Oh my gosh. What has people's reaction been to you listing prayer first as your organization process?
You know, it's interesting because with my publisher, they were like, well, you know, we can put Jesus first, but we also need them to know that there's going to be some more. And so I kind of had to like go to bat for making sure. I was like, there's going to be a lot of practical, but I can't share the practical until I share the foundation. Like, this is the reason that I have joy and peace, and that, you know, I can have calm in my heart, even if there's not calm in my home or in my life, because of Jesus. And I think so often we're waiting until there's that calm in our home, the calm in our life. Like once the baby's sleeping through the night, once my child is potty trained, what, you know, then I will be able to, and just to realize, no, like this is the season that I have. I only have today. And so I want to make the most of it. But it has been really cool because the simple idea of praying, God, multiply my sleep, that concept, I have shared it just over the last 3 years as we've brought in 4 babies, and just there's not been a whole lot of sleep some nights. And just sharing that concept has, so many people have come to me and said that has made such a difference for them. And it really reframes your perspective. Instead of feeling frustrated all day, you know, waking up with that attitude of, oh man, I did not get enough sleep last night. This is going to be a bad day. It reframes it to, I'm anticipating how God is going to show up and be faithful today. And I'm excited to see him show up and show his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. I actually like it even as an admission that I can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much energy in the modern motherhood messaging of give it, I got it, I got it, I got it, don't worry about it, I got it, I got it. Or then being resentful that people, other humans aren't helping us. Like, oh, I need a little help here. Anybody, where's this village? And oh, I really appreciate your prayer part in there first, because it actually has made a huge difference in my life and now is still continuing to make a difference. And it's important for moms to hear, because I think that part of the reason that moms are suffering is because the spiritual aspect of motherhood is ignored in all these self-help books and ideas and downloads and free printables and courses and all of this stuff. The spiritual aspect is completely being ignored, and you are bringing it not only to the playing field, but you're saying, no, this is actually the first batter up is prayer, and it works. I appreciate it so much. One of the things I wanted to point out from your book was you don't just say you need to pray. You actually provide us with excellent lists and resources and suggestions about how to incorporate that into our days. And one of the suggestions you listed was from another mom who said, honestly, in some seasons, the secret to finding time to pray and read my Bible has been delete the Instagram app. And I just wanted to point that out because, well, that's me, and that's probably a lot of other people too. And so when we're over here saying, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time, There's ways we can make time. And that was a really big one for me. It was so, so, so good. Another awesome part of your book is priorities, and you talking about identifying our priorities as a great way for us to begin aligning our actions and values, which is something that we really value here on the podcast. Can you list your current priorities for us? Not so that we can copy it so much as that we can just listen to what other moms are thinking about and focusing on, so that when we are thinking about what we want our priorities to be in this season, we just have some examples of maybe something we can bring to the table when we carve out time to self-reflect.
Yeah. So in the Time Saving Mom, I really try to flesh this out so that it's not just a list, but that it's very fleshed out of like, what does this actually entail? And so my health, my marriage, my kids, my friendships and my relationships, my home and my business. And so those are kind of high level because there are a lot of things that are under that, but really, you know, determining, okay, those are the things that I want to wrap my time and my energy around. And then what does it look like to actually do that? And I walk that out in the book, talking about my 6x2 priority system, where I just focus on 2 priorities per day and what that actually looks like to do that. Because for some people that can feel like, well, how do I only focus on 2 priorities per day? Don't I have to do it all? And I feel like that's where so many moms are getting so overwhelmed, because they're trying to focus on all of the things at once and it's not working. And wherever they are, they feel like they need to be 5 other places. And then they're feeling constantly frustrated and stressed and like they can't be fully present with their kids or with their marriage or wherever it is that they're trying to focus on.
Mm-hmm. My husband and I actually talked about this as we were walking through the snow with our kids. And I said, hey, I want to talk to you about this 6x2 system and identifying our priorities and then only really focusing on 2 a day. And he was like, don't we have to focus on the kids every single day? And like, don't you think we should focus on our marriage every single day? And I was like, yes, but hear me out. Hear Crystal out, actually. That taking those 2 per day actually is such a relief off of our shoulders when we were talking about it. We felt it. It was palpable of, gosh, you know, prioritizing that one time a week of doing one-on-one time with a child is better. Once a week is better than the none that we're doing now, with the added stress of, oh gosh, now I feel guilty that we haven't done that for a while. Maybe we should bring that back. So instead of just talking about it and saying, is this something that we should do X amount of time, X amount of times a month, X amount of times a week, instead, we just put it down logically and say, we have limited time. Today is all we have, and let's make the most of it. And then we also don't feel guilty about it because it's on the schedule to work on our marriage, either in a date night or quality time together, or watching a show or trying to watch a show. Not even watching the thing. Oh, it was so, so, so good. I would recommend people read your book just for that system alone, because I feel like it's the how to release parental guilt method of organizing your time. I love your organization system, so the practicality of it all. And I felt so affirmed because I am a pen and paper gal to the nth degree. And I always tell people I'll remember it if I write it down with a pen and paper instead of online stuff. And you actually quote some studies that support that. Thank you so much. I feel so vindicated. But you also incorporate Google too. And so could you talk with us a little bit about how you do both electronic and a paper calendar?
Yes. So I resisted electronic for a long time because I was like, no, it's pen and paper. Like that's where it is at. I need to write it down and see it. But I was getting to the place, especially with our business. And then when you have kids that are growing up and they have lots of activities and things like that, and just things to remember, that I was struggling with remembering all the things. And my husband was like, you should really try out Google Calendar. And I was very resistant to it. I was like, that will not work for me. And I only actually did it to prove to him that it wouldn't work, only it ended up working. And so I'm so grateful for that because it's really changed my life. Because the thing for me with Google Calendar, it allows me to just brain dump everything out of my head. And I feel like a lot of the stress that we carry around is because we're just have all these ideas and thoughts and to-dos spinning around in our head. And it makes us feel like we just have chaos in our life, because if we have chaos in our head, then we're going to feel like we have chaos everywhere. And so Google Calendar is my place where I just brain dump everything. So anything I need to remember, I need to do, I want to, you know, even it's like, I just want to figure that out. I want to think about just anything that's in my head. I put it in Google Calendar as an all day event. So when I need to have it done by or remembered by, and then the night before I go to bed, I look at the next day, all the all day events, and then the time specific events, and I write out a handwritten time block to-do list. And so it's kind of the best of both worlds. It allows me to still do the handwriting, which I find to be so valuable, and also the crossing off, which I really love and find very fulfilling. There's just something about, I've tried crossing things off of apps and it just doesn't give the same excitement to me as crossing it off with, on a pen and a paper. And so it allows me to then brain dump everything into Google Calendar for, you know, however months to come. Oftentimes there are things on there, but then to just focus on the next day. And so I know it's all in a safe place, but all I need to focus on is this time block to-do list for this day.
Mm-hmm. I love a good pen. I just got new ones. And yeah, there's nothing like crossing it off on pen and paper. But I do see the point of it. Actually, a while ago, my PR agent was saying, like, you really have to have an electronic calendar. And I fought it for a little while too. But now I do see what you're talking about. And I only use it for interviews and my business stuff. But I don't know. I'll be open to playing around with adding it into my Acuity calendar. For those of us who don't use Google, do you have any non-Google suggestions for calendars?
There are other options out there. I like Google just because, well, I use Gmail, and so I like that it all interfaces. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I love about Google Calendar is that it allows any device that you have, it syncs with that. And then also, so my husband has a Google Calendar, and we have then multiple different Google Calendars for different areas of our life. And so you can see it all at once, or you can just see some of the calendars. And so I love that he knows exactly what's going on in my life. So when he's planning his day, he can look ahead and he can see, oh, she has this, or we have a lot of doctor's appointments and therapies with our little guy. And so we're able to look ahead and be like, oh, we can do it on that day, because we see that it's open on each other's calendars. And so that really helps when I'm planning things. I don't have to constantly be going to him and asking him, because we just have time blocks on our calendar of like, these are open times for us to be able to plan stuff. And so the other thing I love about Google Calendar, and I know this is not answering your question because you asked for other things, but you can drag and drop. And so that's the thing that I love. Oftentimes I might not get everything done, or I might decide that something can be done on another day. Super easy to just drag and drop it to another day. And that was the thing with pen and paper that was not working for me, is that I was always having things that I needed to maybe move to another day. And then it just, there wasn't a good system. And I didn't like, it kind of started to get really cluttered with that, or something that I needed to remember 3 months from now that I didn't really have a good way to capture that. Or I wanted to put a link or copy and paste. It's just easier to be able to do it, especially because I use my email for almost like my to-do list online for work stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, because our current method is, hey, honey, I'm at the office. Can you take a picture of our paper calendar and send it to me? With a lot of scribbles. And a lot of rewrites. So, I mean, fair enough. If you have something that works and you love it, I think it's awesome. One of the things I would love for you to speak life over me and other moms who are listening is this notion of follow through, because on page 126 of your book, it's probably my favorite quote, and I feel so seen. I feel like I'm constantly experiencing a battle between my inner disciplinarian and my inner squirrel. I mean, yes, yes. And if my best friend is listening, she is going to be like, highlight, circle, exclamation point, inner squirrel. What are your secrets to completing a task before you move on to the next and really working on self-discipline when it comes to follow through?
So I think one of the biggest things is breaking things down into smaller pieces. I find that to be really helpful. If I have a project, let's say, you know, I need to write an article. For instance, I have an article that I promised to a large website next week. Instead of me saying, okay, I'm going to put that on that one day and I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to tackle it, I break it up into smaller pieces. And so it might be, okay, the first day I'm going to put this on my Google Calendar. I'm going to just figure out the topic and what I'm going to write about and kind of put some bones in for that outline. The next day, I'm going to kind of flesh out the outline. The next day, I'm going to then make sure that I have all the word count in and it's pretty good to go. And then the following day, I'll edit it. For me personally, I find it so much more doable if I've broken it down into smaller pieces. The thing about this is that it means that you have to plan ahead. Like, you can't wait till the last minute. And so Google Calendar has been so helpful for me to be able to break those tasks down into smaller pieces and then be like, oh, so I could do that in 15 minutes. And for me, when it feels doable and realistic and small, it's much easier for me to actually accomplish it than if it feels like it's this big task and I just keep pushing it off because I'm like, I'm going to need a full 2 hours to accomplish that. So if I can break it down into 15-minute pieces, I'm much more apt to actually do it, start it, and finish it.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That sounds good. I wrote that down. Topic, outline, flesh out, word count, edit. That seems totally doable instead of like, you need to write an article by Friday. Oh, that's awesome, Crystal.
Like, in that sort of situation, I find that the article ends up being better because I've actually spent more time thinking about it. And so when I sit down to write, I've worked on it a little bit. And then maybe when I'm washing dishes, you know, then I take time that I'm mulling that over. So then when I actually get to sit down and do the next piece, I have more to bring to the table. And then I've thought about what I've written. And then the next day, it just gets better and better. And honestly, I wrote this book in 5 to 15-minute little segments. And it was just a lot of time that I was spending thinking about it. So it was like I was writing, but not actually physically writing, because in my head, I was thinking about it a lot. But then I would sit down and oftentimes only have 15 minutes to write. But there would be a lot of words that would come because I'd spent that time using those moments in the shower, washing dishes, folding laundry, changing diapers, whatever, to be thinking about the book.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Ironically, spending more time by spending less time. It's awesome. Oh, well, I'm a pretty spontaneous person. We're a very spontaneous family. Do you feel like there's any room for spontaneity in your process in your organization?
I'm actually very spontaneous, which is funny. I didn't used to be like that. I was raised in a very, very like type A home by a mom who had every 15 minutes. It was like, that was our schedule. Like it was very regimented. And I have found maybe it's my like just exercising my like independence or something, but that I actually deep down inside am very spontaneous. And so one thing that I love about having a time block to-do list, using Google Calendar, like having it, being like budgeting for my time is kind of what I call it with my time block to-do list, is that I actually budget in a lot of free time. And it's kind of like with our budget, we have blow categories where we just budget money that we can spend on whatever we want to spend. I do the same thing with my time block to-do list where I budget in. Many times I will just have 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon or evening where I'll just say free and it'll just be like family time. So then I know I get these things done in the morning and I focus, then we can just go do something fun or we can just hang out or we can just watch a movie or whatever. And so I think a lot of times people think of time blocking as like every single 15 minutes you're telling, you know, exactly what to do. Well, that might be that you're allowing this whole time block for just freedom to do something that you don't know what it's going to be. You're going to find out. And so that might still feel restrictive to you that you have things in the morning, specific things that you are getting done. But I find that I'm much more motivated to do those things and accomplish them if I know, okay, at the end of the day, I have this free time that we're going to find out what's going to happen, you know? And then also I find that I can, if there's something that comes up, especially with the 6x2 priority system, I don't plan out what my priorities are going to be well in advance. That to me is very restrictive. So I want to just take each day as it comes and decide, okay, today I'm going to focus on my marriage and I'm going to focus on my home. And you know, the next day I'm going to do this. And so then if something comes up, like all of a sudden a child just really needs some extra time, or all of a sudden a friend needs some extra time, or I'm just like, this house has got to get organized today, that I can shift some things around, that I'm not stuck, and knowing that, okay, we can move that to today and then tomorrow we'll get to that other thing. So I feel like there's a lot of freedom that it gives you. While at the same time, it's like with a budget, you have freedom to spend the money knowing that you're not going to be taking it from other categories as well.
Mm-hmm, sure. Guilt-free, like actual legit free time. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason we took off in the RV this weekend, just to feel like we could have legitimate guilt-free free time, because it was on the calendar. Now that you mention it, I'm going to look forward to these RV trips, I think. That's awesome. Oh, my favorite chapter in your book was actually chapter 10. And you said this book almost didn't happen. And there's a list in there of simple steps to make life easier. And that is gold, just so you know. Also get her book just for that, because that list made me so happy. And this chapter is the most poignant of the entire book. You had every excuse not to write this book. You know, our modern schedules as moms provide us with plenty of reasons why we just simply cannot do one more thing. But you have two major points in this chapter that really helped me think about my busy mindset that I have, and they are: simplicity is a superpower and we can't do everything well. When I read "we can't do everything well," it struck me so hard that no one has ever said this to me as a person. No one has ever said this to me as a mom, saying, hey, look, the reality is you cannot do everything well. Stop trying to do that. Gosh, can you speak to us about these two notions?
Yes. Well, you know, I think it's funny because whenever I was thinking about writing this book, it was really my publisher. They wanted this book. And I was sort of like, guys, do you not know there are a whole bunch of time management books? What would I have to bring to the table? And they're like, Crystal, you just seem like you love your life and you have so many things that you're doing. How are you doing it? And so my acquisitions editor really challenged me to just take a few days and kind of just think about this. And I started paying attention. I realized I do have lots of rhythms and routines and systems in place, but they're so simple. And that's what I came back to. I was like, it's so simple. And she's like, bingo. That's exactly, like, we want to know what those things are. And so just recognizing, like, keeping it simple, that is a superpower. And then also, you know, just realizing that I don't do a lot of things There's a lot of things that I don't do. And so people are like, how do you do it all? The thing is, I don't. And I've selectively chosen a lot of areas of my life that I'm just not going to make a priority. And, you know, there's just a lot of things. I was doing an interview earlier this morning and someone was saying, like, how do you keep your house clean? And I was like, I don't keep it all clean, you know? And I have given myself that permission of like the main living areas of the home. I try to keep those clean and picked up. But our bedroom right now, we have three little people sleeping in our room with us. And it's, there's just a lot of life that happens in our bedroom. And so maybe once a week it gets all picked up, but a lot of the time it's messy. And I've just come to recognize like, this is not a season for me having a really great clean bedroom. And some people would be like, that's terrible. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Like, I don't have to feel like I have to live up to the standard that all these other people have set on Instagram or in their books or whatever. You know, do what works for our family and be okay with that and celebrate that instead of feeling like I'm constantly failing because I'm not doing it as well as someone else is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Amen to all of that. Oh my gosh. I woke up in the middle of the night last night and looked over and realized I was sleeping next to a pile of laundry. Legit didn't even know it was there when I crashed on that pillow.
Been there, done that. Yes.
Thought it was a person. It was actually just laundry. You actually talk about radical responsibility in your book, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And you are bold enough to say that stress is a choice. I would love for you to talk with us about your beliefs on this. Like, how do you reframe stress so that it doesn't take over our lives, but instead points us actually ironically toward the overwhelm exit?
Yes. So for me, I personally know that anytime that I'm starting to feel that stress rising up, it is an indication that I'm not resting in the Lord. And so I'm trying to micromanage in my own strength something in my life, some area in my life or multiple areas of my life, whether that's my child, my home, my marriage, a friendship. You know, I am trying to take it into my hands and fix it. And so because it's not getting fixed on my timeline or not working out how I wanted it to, then I'm feeling the stress rising. And so for me, stress is an indication. It's a red flag of where am I not trusting the Lord? And like I talked about, we can have calm in our hearts without calm in every area of our life. And so to realize that, I think of, you know, in the hurricane, like the eye of the hurricane, so often that's our life is full. Like, you know, it's like there are a lot of things that are going on and moving parts and people coming in and out and people who have needs. And so getting to the place of where I, you know, have peace is not about what's happening in my home, but what's happening in my heart. And so for me, it's that releasing to the Lord and really relying upon Him. And sometimes I have to do it over and over and over because I keep picking back up those things that I want to try to fix and solve and picking them back up and trying to micromanage it again. And then realizing, no, this is God's to take care of. I'm going to release it to Him and I'm going to rest in Him and trust Him and that He is good and He is in this and He's going to give me what I need and I can look to Him and I have God's Spirit in me. I don't have to do this on my own. I'm not enough in my own strength, but in Christ, I can do all things. And so I think just that reframing of instead of just feeling like we have like stress is just, it's just a normal part of our existence, to say stress is a choice. And a lot of people push back on that. You know, anytime I share that, there's a lot of pushback because I think we want to, in essence, like it's safer to live stuck instead of saying there are actually ways that we can acknowledge where our dysfunction is and where our unhealth is and where we're trying to rely upon our own strength. And release that to the Lord and rest in Him and find this joy and peace, even in the midst of juggling a lot and when life is hard and when things can feel like this is too much, we can give it to God and ask Him to carry it with us so that in Him, He gives us exactly what we need to do what He's called us to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen to all of that, Crystal. My gosh, it's so good. People push back on it because it requires responsibility. It requires what you say in the book, I was the problem, but I was also the solution. And really reframing how it is we look at the way that we interact with the world and stepping out of that victim mindset and saying, I am not strong enough to do it alone, but I do have a source and I can tap into that. And never in my life have I thought about stress as things are not happening on my timeline. But if I were to break down any stressors at all, that 100% is what it comes down to, is that I'm trying to do it all myself and I'm trying to muscle and manhandle my schedule or a task or any of that stuff and put it into my timeline instead of releasing stopping to take responsibility for that and to ask for help is completely life-changing. I love it so much. You talk about overextending ourselves and oh boy, isn't that just the opposite of the simplistic life that a lot of us are after? You say overextending yourself and packing your schedule so full of good stuff doesn't make for a great life. It makes for an overwhelming life. And I really wanted to point out that quote to listeners too, because I think so many of us feel overextended. And if we couple that with your notions about stress and radical responsibility, I think really mashing those two things together are going to make us come to our days and our calendars and our schedules and our family and what it is we're striving for, answering those two big questions of what will matter in 25 years and what will matter at the end of our lives. The reframe you provide for us, Crystal, is so awesome. And then at the end of your book, you say most of us want to change our lives, but rarely is it possible to overhaul our lives overnight. I mean, truth bomb after truth bomb after truth bomb. And I just wanted to take a minute and thank you for taking the time to write this book. It is the message that we need, and we need that return to simplicity and personal responsibility and thinking about everything that matters, like legacy. I've changed four areas of my life since I read your book, and it has been really good. I would love to tell you about them. Well, first of all, I talked to Pam Barnhill, went to a homeschool conference, heard her talk and said, she said, set a bedtime timer. And so I started to do that at 8:20, which sounds really late for all of my super small kids, but we moved from Maui to Idaho and we have never adjusted to Idaho time. We are still on Maui time. And so at 11 o'clock at night, we're like, we should probably go to bed. So we started setting a timer at 8:20 at night to say, okay, bedtime warning. But then your book took it a step farther. And I started implementing PJs by 9, which, sidebar, one of my kids who's not 9 years old yet thought that that meant that we were going to require her to start wearing PJs by the time she was 9 years old. And we got a good laugh over that. But I said, no, by 9 p.m., you need to be wearing your pajamas. And ever since we have put that in, everyone has been in pajamas at 9 p.m. and going to bed earlier. And it was just one simple guideline for our family of, okay, PJs by 9, life-changing. The second thing is I'm buying a secondhand treadmill, probably today, probably in this snowstorm, because it has been something that's been on my list. And then as I'm reading your book, all of a sudden this thing popped up on my phone from our mom's group saying, hey, I'm selling this secondhand treadmill for super cheap. Who wants it? And I was like, I want it. I want it. But I probably wouldn't have pulled the trigger on that unless I had read your book and realized it was something like prioritizing my health, and I wasn't doing that. And this was a practical way for me to do that. So thank you for that. The third thing I did was ask God to multiply my sleep, and I have not been let down, not one time. And it has been absolutely amazing. And the fourth thing was I realized I needed to stop telling myself that I don't have time to write a book in this busy season with four young kids and all these big life changes we're doing, because there are moments if I prioritize it. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for those super practical, super simple, super life-changing notions that you have introduced into my family since reading your book. I'm just really, really grateful.
Well, I'm just humbly grateful. Like I told you before we started recording, the fact that you would take the time to read my book, that means so much to me. And that speaks so highly to your character as a podcaster, because that's actually pretty rare. And so I really appreciate that. But then also, I am just over here cheering for you. And like, you know, using those little 5 and 15 minutes, it's amazing. Asking God to multiply, you know, we can take that idea of asking God to multiply those little crumbs. Sometimes I feel like with writing this book, the last chapters, I talk about how it was a chapter I never expected to write. And in the middle of writing the book, found out that we were going to be adopting David, which was not part of the plan, but God made it very clear that was his plan. And then finding out I was expecting and having morning, noon, and night sickness, and just being in the middle of that with two toddlers and three teenagers, and also running a business and being like, I don't know that I have time to write this book. And then it was like, oh, I should not say that. Don't I talk about that in the book? And instead, you know, how am I choosing to spend my time? And let's be a case study for, do these principles actually work? And so I share that in the last chapter of just what it looked like to walk that out in that season that was very unexpected. But I just want to encourage you of taking those little moments that God gives you. If he's calling you to do this, that he will equip you and he will give you what you need. And it might not be what you want, you know, like, wouldn't we all love to get to go sit in a cottage by the sea and write a book or something, you know, I miss my kids terribly, but that's not going to happen right now. And so, you know, recognizing that in the midst of life that he can multiply those 5 and 15 minutes to be enough or more than enough for what he has called us to, and that he is just so faithful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Crystal, I love that so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the encouragement, the personal encouragement, but then also just the general encouragement in this book. The way you show up for moms is so awesome. And you just constantly take that speaking life over your children idea and you just spread it. It starts in your home and spreads outward. I think you nod to this in the book as well. And you just walk the walk. And I appreciate that so much. My listeners are going to want to connect with you more. Where can they find you?
So I always love for people to follow me on Instagram. That's kind of the one place online where it's just, you never know what you're going to get, for one, but also just sharing my heart. I share time management strategies, but then also lots of money saving strategies and just real life, what it looks like to have, you know, teenagers, a daughter that's going off to college. We did a college visit yesterday and then being in the midst of potty training and nursing and all the things. So I'm The Money Saving Mom on Instagram. Would love for you to follow me there. I'm especially active in stories. And then my site, if you're looking for money saving encouragement, is moneysavingmom.com.
Oh, Crystal, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to get to be on here with you.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.